Hello and welcome to the Muni Lowdown. My name is Paul Graves and I'm the managing editor for DebtWire Municipals. Today's podcast title is Office Market Malaise. I'm joined by Eric Homer, editorial director for our sister product, DebtWire ABS, and Kunal Kamal, a reporter on our team. We'll be discussing commercial real estate valuations. Kunal, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me back again, Paul.
And Eric, we're delighted to have you for the first time, brother.
Thanks, Paul. It's good to be here, and thanks for having me.
Today, we're going to talk about commercial real estate valuations, and in particular, the rising office vacancies that we've seen over the past several years. And part of the reason why we want to talk about this on the Muni Lowdown is that these commercial properties generate property taxes. And to the extent that vacancies are rising, those property taxes go down, and that could have an effect negatively on city governments. Eric, why don't you give us a sense of the current state of the commercial real estate market?
Sure, Paul. There's a lot of headlines out right now, of course, about office vacancies across the country. That's the big news. At the end of the fourth quarter last year, the nationwide office vacancy rate hit 20%. That's the highest since 1979. New York City's office vacancy rate is at 23%. That's 95 million square feet of leasable space. San Francisco, another headline, 36.6%. So there's a lot of numbers out there that show that office vacancies are at record highs, still climbing incrementally. Most of this comes from, as most of us know, from the pandemic, from remote work. That trend is lingering. So that's creating massive office vacancies across the country. Another factor to that, there was a substantial overbuilding over the past 10 years. So we've got a glut of office space out there that's just empty. This, of course, is driving office valuations down, real estate valuations down, and that's creating troubles rippling throughout the CMBS markets. As far as refinancing goes, building valuations, vacancies, you know, they continue to stay high.
So what were the pre-pandemic characteristics of the commercial real estate market?
The commercial real estate market pre-pandemic was relatively healthy. You've got terms of commercial real estate loans are typically about a five-year loan, typically with 5 one-year extensions. These are interest-only loans. Everything's baked into this. Interest rate fluctuations, vacancies rising and falling typically. No one could have foreseen the pandemic and its effects on that market. The CMBS market before the pandemic was resilient, just chugging along, for lack of a better term.
And Eric, just for our audience, CMBS stands for?
Commercial mortgage-backed securities. So what's going on here is you've got commercial mortgages, offices, malls, apartments, anything commercial. These are being packaged into pools, and these are acting as collateral for bond issues. So you've got bonds being issued that are backed by the cash flows of commercial mortgages.
All right, thank you. How has the evolution of the market contributed to the current rise in office vacancies and commercial real estate distress? And more importantly, how is post-pandemic, how is the market looking?
Well, that's a good question, Paul. I recently attended the Structured Finance Vegas convention, and that's the big conversation. The answer to that right now largely is a wait and see. So what we've got right now is we've got commercial mortgages that need to be refinanced in an environment that is interest rate wise triple what it used to be when they were originated. You've got office vacancies leading to valuation cuts as much as 50%, 60% in some cases. So the outlook in that regard immediately can be kind of bleak. And that's reflected in a lot of the headlines that we see today. Right now, the attitude tends to be stay alive until 25. So we're gonna do what we can. We're going to modify loans. We're going to inject equity into these situations to keep things above water. And they're waiting for a lower interest rate environment coming up in, say, 2025, 2026, and wait for things to shake out.
That's pretty catchy. Stay alive until 25. I like that. With the advent of remote work, how much of a catalyst has that been to this rise in office vacancies, or are there other factors also driving this?
As I mentioned before, overbuilding played a small role in it. There was a glut of supply there, but by far, working remotely is the largest factor that we're seeing right now. There's a lot of analysis out there that points to the fact that it is returning. You're going to see more people on the subway in New York. People are returning to the office a little bit more than what we thought in the pandemic. Everybody during the pandemic was saying that office is dead, that this is a permanent trend. I think it's going to come back to a certain degree. Some companies are demanding that people show up 3 days a week, at least in the office. That's going to continue from what I've seen. But there is an evolution here where going forward, the consideration has to be, are we going to be able to fill an office tower, you know, or are you going to have to think outside a little bit and accept the fact that office demand isn't going to return to pre-pandemic levels? I heard a lot of panelists at the convention talking about what commercial real estate is going to look like, urban commercial real estate is going to look like going forward. And the consensus, I think, is going to be that there's going to be a lot of mixed use. You're going to see situations where you've got residential components, office components, and retail components all in, you know, one building going forward. And the financing for that is going to have to adjust the cash flows from those situations. It's going to be a more complex situation, but that's what the CMBS market does. It figures it out and it'll move forward.
So beyond the office market, what's the next leading cause of commercial real estate distress?
Right now, Paul, we're starting to see a little bit of cracks in the multifamily market. So in other words, apartments. There was a massive rash of building over the past several years in terms of multifamily units. So a lot of supply, demand stays pretty steady. And, you know, now we're starting to see some cracks in that. So I would say that multifamily is going to be the next source of distress.
And what's been happening with the retail mall sector? Because I know years ago, retail malls had been a bit in the decline. Where does that stand?
The retail crisis, so to speak, in CMBS, that sort of peaked about 5 years ago, I would say. Don't hold me to that one. But with the advent of e-commerce and the wide acceptance of e-commerce, clearly the malls are dead. You know, no one wants to go to a single-story mall. Those golden days are over. But again, you know, the market adjusted. Clearly, there are still retail brick-and-mortar establishments out there. Regional malls still continue to suffer. There are downgrades associated with CMBS deals, ratings downgrades for CMBS deals that are backed by regional malls. So that distress is definitely still there. Somewhat easier to digest, I would say, than office vacancies. You've got large parcels of land. Malls are typically situated in suburban areas. So you're not talking about vast numbers of Class B, Class C office space that just nobody wants. That land under those regional malls is worth something despite the mall.
So Eric, you mentioned Class B and Class C properties. Can you explain? I also know that there's Class A. Can you give us just a brief description of what those are?
Class A office, trophy office, brand new construction, they're golden. They're having a fine time right now. Class B and C are older buildings. You're looking at, say, Third Avenue in New York, the big glass and steel canyons. These are offices that are older, larger floor plates, fewer amenities, and they're suffering. These are less desirable. They're farther away from transportation hubs. So all of that considered, you know, these things used to be full of people just like any other office building. But now with the lack of demand, this is the first area that's starting to, that's really suffering, are the lower rated office buildings.
And as far as the major markets, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Boston, etc., are they all being affected similarly by office vacancies, or is there any kind of differences going on?
I think they are all suffering fairly equally. The variations come from the supply of office space, the nature of business in the area. San Francisco, for instance, you know, you've got a 36.6% vacancy rate, the last I saw, very much pegged to Silicon Valley businesses. New York's got a broader field of office tenants there. So it's not going to be struck so hard by layoffs in one particular sector, such as tech. Boston's rate, a little bit lower than everybody else. They're still feeling the same woes. The office vacancy is contributing to that, but the overbuilding was less of a consideration there. There are regional discrepancies, but overall, they're all suffering basically from the same symptoms.
And what about smaller cities versus larger cities in terms of navigating these challenges?
Larger cities obviously are in the headlines. Everybody's got to consider this. I think that in some ways, smaller cities could be more incentivized to move more quickly in terms of getting office space repurposed, incentivizing people to come into the city to build, to work there.
So how feasible are office to residential conversions as a solution to mitigate the rise in office vacancies?
office to residential conversion is something that it's a nice bit for a headline. It gets picked up a lot as a cure for this. It sounds great on the surface. We've got a shortage of housing supply. We've got a glut of office space. So let's switch it and solve all the problems. And in theory, that sounds great. The problem is that by some estimations, less than 1% of office space is fit for residential conversion. And that's due to a lot of factors. Number one, a lot of the buildings that we were talking about being less desirable, the Class B and Class C buildings, built in the 50s, 60s, 70s, tall 50, 60 story towers, big open floor plans. These buildings are very, very difficult to convert into residential. You've got lack of sunlight. You've got plumbing and electrical systems in there that are very much specific to an office space. They're localized in the building. So it'd be very difficult to turn that into small, livable quarters. That said, cities are approving these conversions faster. The White House some time ago notified that it's supporting residential conversion. Construction loans are expensive right now, though. And like I said, a lot of these buildings aren't fit. Where you're going to see office to residential conversion happening is suburban office space a lot of times, and very old buildings in cities. So buildings that were built in the 40s and 50s, more ornate, smaller, these are going to be more suitable to residential conversion.
So close out the podcast, Eric. What's your view on the trajectory of the commercial real estate market for 2024 and beyond?
It's going to move along, Paul. You can't knock it down. It's going to change. It's going to evolve. There's a lot of smart people working in this market, and they're going to make their adjustments as they need to. Like I said, a lot of them are kicking the can down the road, waiting for interest rates to fall. We're expecting 3 cuts in 24, if that ever materializes, maybe more down the road from that. So it's going to adjust. There's going to be some pain. There's going to be buildings torn down. There's going to be conversions. There's going to be loan modifications. But it's going to move forward. I think that some of the doom and gloom that you see in a lot of headlines out there, it's somewhat unwarranted. There's going to be some pain, but it's going to evolve. It's going to become a new landscape.
Well, thanks, Eric and Kunal, for the insightful perspectives on commercial real estate. Looking forward to an ongoing dialogue on this subject. And to our audience, I hope you found this podcast to be informative. Please support us by liking, sharing, and or subscribing to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Until the next time, thanks for joining us on the Muni Lowdown.